Welcome to Navigating Nourishment. We are your hosts. I'm Debbie.
And I'm Wendy, and we are National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coaches.
In each of our episodes, we're going to navigate through all the overwhelming and controversial information in the world of health, wellness, and well-being.
If you're tired of false promises and want honest answers and clarity, we invite you to step into curiosity, to explore new perspectives, and discover what works for your unique body and life.
Hi, welcome to Navigating Nourishment. We're glad you're joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So we're really excited about having Stephanie Birkin here today. We officially met around the holidays of last year. So about 4 months ago at a holiday party, and I learned about your beverage, which we're going to be talking about, and also about your extraordinary background that really connected with a lot of what we do here. So we're excited about learning all about you. So Stephanie Birkin, another woman-owned business we have to celebrate. And you own a beverage company called Seraphim that we're going to be talking a lot about. So it's non-alcoholic and it's delicious. So we want to hear all about it. Let's do that. Let's get that over with, not over with, but let's talk about that so that we can get to your background so then we can get back to the beverage.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So tell us about this delicious beverage that you've created.
So it's a wine alternative wellness tonic. Some say that it's in its own lane because it's a complex beverage with so many yummy flavors. I tried to make it so it had the like beginning, middle, end that maybe a wine does because of why I started it. But many say it's in its own lane, and I feel like it is. And there's not even a word for the category. It's kind of like a functional beverage. But when you hear functional beverage, because that's been a new word in the last number of years, right, it's more like a day drink, right? More like really for your body. Where this is, I brought this about to have that same experience that I had drinking a glass of red wine in a fancy glass, taking a load off from the day, all of the psychological components of that. But something that was good for me and made me feel good, because what it came out of a need that I created it. I was starting to feel bad after drinking wine, and I don't want to downplay wine because it's a beautiful experience. But for me, it was giving me headaches. Maybe after I got past a certain age, I really didn't feel good the next day. And I was getting really short tempered in the moment with my family. And I was like, this is not serving me, but I don't want to give up that ritual. Like, it's such a great, either relaxing, mentally relaxing, and, you know, practically relaxing ritual, but also the celebration with friends and, you know, being social. So I was in Whole Foods one day and was tasting a day drink they had sampled. I was like, oh, this one ingredient could help make a non-alcoholic wine less sweet. So I went back into my kitchen and started creating recipes, and not to just, I have a master's in holistic health. So that helped me know, kind of led me to know what to use. But I did work with herbalists because I wanted to put things in that kind of helped you be calm and brought on that feeling. But also I was really conscious of making it good for you, like using organic ingredients, also because I have a concern for the earth. I studied environmental science for a little bit, worked on the environmental commission in my town. And I know that, you know, organic food can help our soil because our soil is compromised and that compromises our gut health. So all of that, it's kind of a neat thing because it's like this, you know, psychologically emotional beverage, but then it also really helps your body. So it's kind of mind, body, spirit.
Yeah. And earth too, which is right, all connected. I love that. Right.
Yeah.
So you've been, you went into your kitchen and started tinkering and got together with some herbalists. And so when did you launch?
I launched in 2022, September, 2022. It took me about a year and a half to develop it. You know, I did over 100 or so recipes. Then I worked with a graphic designer and an artist for the branding and the labels. And then I took it to initially Drexel, which is my alma mater, because I know they have a food science lab. And they said, wow, this is really good. And you're ahead of where some people are when they come, because a lot of times people come with just the idea, but I had the recipe, I had the branding. So then they directed me to Rutgers Food Innovation Center, which isn't on the university, but it's its own separate lab. They help create the Impossible Burger. So they helped me scale up. So they helped me get into the mode of, you know, really producing it, bottling it. They have that facility there.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed just by the drive that you had to do it, you know, because it's probably, there's probably so many steps to put a product out in the world. I mean, the little bit that we did with our cookbook, putting that product out was a lot more than we thought it was going to be. So putting out an actual product like this, it's actually going to market and being tested, and there's a lot more to it, obviously, than a book. So it's like, I'm just amazed at that and all that you figured out what to do it. Not that you know, I'm not insulting your intelligence at all. It's just a lot. It's a lot to do that. So you were very motivated to get this done. And it's, thank you for doing that, because we need this kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I appreciate all the effort that you did to get that into our hands.
I'm glad you recognize that. I mean, if I would have sat and thought about what it might, it might take, I probably wouldn't have done it, but there's something about me. I'm very creative. I had a past, was a fashion designer. And when I get an idea, I just need to make it happen. And it was kind of like a ball rolling. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's almost like something that was not in my mind. It kind of took over my body, like my spirit just had to do it. And then, you know, my brain kicked in to figure out. And then just with the help of people, like Rutgers was amazing, because they don't just work with the food aspect, producing it. They have a business team, they have a marketing team. And so they did some market research initially for the brand. And it was before I realized that, it was a trend. So I kind of just, anyway, I had a need, I did it. And then they did some market research and said, wow, this is a real trend. Now we want to, let's take five brands that are already on the market that are non-alcoholic. And then they did a blind taste test and with their food scientists and other industry professionals. And mine scored the one blend highest of out of all. And they said, you have to get this out there. Nobody ever scores a 7 out of 10. So that really gave me the confidence, because you can have an idea and you can think it's great because you created it. But then if you see that it's viable in an industry that of professionals that work with this day in and day out, that gave me the real push to keep going, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Definitely. But you're also leading us to a little bit about your background. So I want to kind of dive into that too, because of you already said a few things about what you've done in the past. And so you've already lived a couple of lives. I'd like to hear about all of that. So what led you up to this moment? So where did you start?
So yeah, I started, well, honestly, when I was 10, I was in a 4-H. My mom had a 4-H group. At 4-H, you know, you could raise cattle, you could grow plants, or you could sew. And I learned how to sew. Uh-huh. And then my dad's an artist, a fine artist. So maybe I have some drawing talent. And I kind of combined the two and went to school to Drexel for fashion design and graduated with a Bachelor of Science, because I didn't know if it would work out or not, but it did. I went to New York and was very successful working for a few companies, Allen Tracy in the 90s, and they were a great brand.
Yeah.
And I eventually had my own collection within a company that ended up, I married the owner of the company. So it's a long story, but anyway, so I got to do my dream. I mean, fashion design was so much fun. I actually got to be creative and make a living by being, you know, being creative, which can be hard.
Yes.
And it was the best time living in New York. I lived there for 20 years. I traveled to Paris, Milan, you know, the Far East. And then when, I had two children, two sons, and then we moved to a small town in Spring Lake on the Jersey Shore. And at some point, so I had my own collection at that point within my husband's company. And I felt like I was kind of like dead. I know something shifted.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. So I started meditating because I wanted to try to, I just read that that was good for your mind. And I was kind of going down a rabbit hole. So that really took me to another place where I started delving into angels and spirituality. And we actually took a trip to Africa with the two kids. They were 7, 10. And I felt like, I don't know, that I had a dream, a literal dream. And I saw myself in Africa and we went. I don't do that like that.
Wow.
Dream, yeah. But it happened. And we worked with a school. My husband helped start a baseball team with the school there. We worked in Uganda, 8 hours in the bush, helping a clinic I wanted to expose my kids to another world outside our bubble.
Right.
And also kind of feel like something to hold on to or give back, or I don't know what it was, but that led me to the woman that led that trip. And it was only five of us, so it was great. You know, wasn't a big group of people, and I wanted to make her a gift. So we were talking about angels and crystals and what they mean over there and kind of having fun with it. And so I said, I'm going to make her a pillow for her new apartment because she was moving, and she's not religious, but I'm going to put this Archangel Michael, which is a protector I had learned, and then clear quartz, positive energy, black tourmaline blocks negative energy. I hid it in a little pouch in the pillow for her apartment. And I said, it's her protection pillow. So I was like, wow, that has a good ring. So I started making that, started a little business making protection pillows. And so that was really, really fun and, you know, heartwarming because people felt comfort. And then they started bringing, some people brought me clothes of their loved ones who have passed away, their shirts. So I made t-shirt pillows, and I felt like the energy of the shirt could go into the crystal, and you can put it in your pocket if you want to feel better, you know, if you're missing them. So that I had an Etsy shop. So that was a little business I started, and then went into doing chakra shirts to teach, you know, to have empowering mantras aligned with the chakra system. So, you know, just to, again, kind of bring a energetic wellness. Yeah. And, you know, it can sound like, I know there's different schools of thought about all of this, but, you know, the base of it, everything's energy, right? So
absolutely.
And that's very scientific. So
yes,
if we really take care of our energy, that can help us take care of us, you know? So
and if we talisman, it doesn't matter what the talisman is. If it helps us feel better,
right? Like
that is the energy just of believing in something and having it in our hand can work wonders.
Yep. I mean, the power of the mind is powerful, and everyone realizes that, right? And at the base of everything too, like we want to be loved, right? And our heart comes into it, and we can't really explain exactly why we cry or we feel certain things, but it's an energetic movement and shift in us. So I felt like I had this little business of wellness products, and then the beverage then came again organically, not by like sitting down thinking, what's the next thing I can do? It just happened. And that's taken on such a life of its own that I kind of, it's a separate entity now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you in there, you kind of skipped over, but you did end up going back to school, right?
That was another, when I got back from Africa, I said, I think there's something bigger going on here in the world. Like, I don't know what it is, but I really want to understand how science and spirituality work together. And if I hear something three times in a week, or like there's a sign, like something's going on here. So I heard this Georgian court university three times, literally. And I looked online, I said, what's this about? And it was this whole list of courses that were something that was like, oh my gosh, energy medicine, alternative healing methods, plant medicine. I was like, oh my God, these are so interesting. And I looked at different than classes, like even in California, this just seemed like it had everything I wanted. And it was right near me in New Jersey. So I went and enrolled and got a master's degree in holistic health from there. Yeah. So that really helped the ball rolling in the direction that I had begun, you know?
Right.
I love how you're talking about how you're really following your intuition on these things. You're saying something is calling me to do this, and you're not doing a lot of questioning of it, is what I'm hearing. And I love that. I think so many of us have those signs, but we don't follow them, or we aren't open to even following them. And I think just your base of having a meditation process, practice, probably helped you stay open to these things that were dropping into your lap, like a dream of going to Africa. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. That is so beautiful. I'm just wondering how many times what I want to say is, let's all tap into that intuition just a little bit more. You know, let's be a little bit more open to things that are dropping into our lap and kind of pay attention and open our eyes a little bit better.
No, thanks. Don't get me wrong. I get a lot of anxiety too, questioning what I'm doing, but I think I'm always curious. Like, my curiosity keeps me in that direction, because I definitely doubt myself and definitely question, the next moment I'm so curious that I can't sit still on that curiosity, you know? And then I get affirmations. Like, when I went to look at that school, I took the tour and there was a bust of the woman who founded it. And I raised my hand. They started talking about her, and I raised my hand. And I said, why did she found it? I don't even know why that question came. Well, I raised my hand. Why did she found the college? And they said, she wanted to do things like take kids off the street and teach them practical things like sewing. And that's how she started it. And so in Africa, after I went to Uganda, I went to Nairobi, because I found out about a mission there, and worked just for a short period of time with Made in the Streets. And it's a couple that started a program where they take kids out of the slums and they teach them a trade, either woodwork, computers, catering, beauty, or sewing. And so I kind of worked with the sewing kids. I gave them a project. They sent me sketches. So that I got home from that trip. I went to that tour, and literally the statement was, she wanted to take kids off the street and teach them sewing. I'm like, okay, if this is not an affirmation, right? Like, that you can't make this, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So that I have to give credibility to that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or like a nod to that. Yeah.
Right. And to you, it's so obvious and so simple in a way. And to me as well, like, I operate my life like that too. But I live with a couple of men, my son and my husband, who would just say, oh, those are coincidences. Those are just coincidences. And to me, no, I don't think so. I think if it happened, like you, if it happened more than a couple times, there's some message out there. I need to take that seriously. And in a way, I, as Wendy was saying, I don't mean to discriminate, but I think women tend to be more in touch with that intuitiveness. At least our culture trains women to be more like that and men less like that. Let's put it that way. And I think that it's a superhero strength that we have that most of us don't practice. And you're encouraging our listeners and everyone else. It's like, listen to that. You're on your second career, or maybe even your third career or fourth career, depending on what you're counting as careers. And we don't have to be stuck where we are. We can let our curiosity drive us. And of course, not everyone has the means to do whatever they want, but there's so much more we can do with nothing. I mean, there's so many opportunities and things to do. And I want to encourage people to look at those signs and say, okay, maybe I need to move in this direction, or maybe I need to go in this direction. We don't have to stay where we are all the time. So, and I'm so glad you did it. I'm so glad you explored and became curiosity, because you're here right now with us. Yeah. And we have this beautiful product that I definitely want to talk about. So it's like all these wonderful things happened out of your curiosity, and they continue.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite words. And it's something that we talk with our clients about all the time, is when we step into curiosity, all the judgment can kind of fall away, you know, and we could just kind of, it's more, and I don't want to, it can take the layers out of the peer pressure even, and go to the childlike curiosity and the play and not have all the baggage of society on top of it. So curiosity is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let's get curious about the product. Let's dive into the product and tell us all of the gems that are offered.
So I think the thing that makes it unique is how it's built with all these berries. That's the basis of it. And then it's brewed like a tea with the botanicals. So The combination of that, the berries maintain the Brix, so the sugar content. It's natural sugar, so not to scare people, it's only 60 calories a glass and no added sugar. But you have these whole foods. So it's organic sour cherries, and that has melatonin, which helps you sleep.
Right.
There's like a viral blowout of Sleepy Girl mocktail, which is a combination of sour cherries, magnesium, and soda or seltzer that are like supposedly helping people sleep. Well, this is the main ingredient of my drink. So, and it's all in one bottle.
Yes.
So there's the sour cherries, and that's good for cardiovascular health. There's wild blueberries, which more and more people know that are great antioxidants, and red grapes. And then it's brewed like a tea with reishi mushroom, which has adaptogenic, you know, balancing your body, anti-inflammatory, antiviral properties. And then some herbal extracts. So there's two blends. One is the cassia blend, which is cinnamon hibiscus. Hibiscus also has good cardiovascular properties, and cinnamon good gut health. And then apple cider vinegar is in there for gut health. So the cassia blend has elderberry extract for immune support. So I did that coming out of COVID. I felt like that was important more and more people know that elderberry is good for your immune health. And then there's another blend with that same base of berries, the same berries. But then for flavor and other components, I added the cacao. So cacao is in there instead of the cinnamon hibiscus. The cacao blend has cacao. And that's good for brain boosting, for calming, actually, like clarity for your brain. And then oat extract is in there for calming. So it helps de-stress your nervous system. So yeah, so there's these two blends that I feel like have magic in them. Also because I put amethyst crystal in the dry ingredients, but as they're waiting to be brewed, because I believe amethyst crystal has calming energy properties. And then I also had read about Emoto, this Japanese researcher who researched how energy, again, how words and sounds affect molecules. So I don't know if you know the study, but
we have his book right up here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, you put the glasses of water, put words that were kind of loving words and then words that were hateful, and looked under the microscope and saw that these words, the molecules were like perfect snowflakes. Right. And these were all distorted, the molecules. So I play meditation music while we brew it, so that it kind of is another element of perhaps calming the liquid. And also it's just the people working and making it, you know, it adds maybe an element of something
absolutely
for them.
I don't want to interrupt, but I have to tell you that what we call it is vitamin L. It's vitamin love. You know, it's infused into your mix, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that when I learned how I got into Ayurveda, and I know that, and I learned how to make ghee, and the process of making ghee, which is clarified butter to simplify things, but the process of making it Ayurvedically is all about that. It's all about the energy and how. If you're not in a good mood, don't make it. If there's chaos in your house, don't make it. It's like takes about an hour, and you need to have good energy. You need to make sure everything's in line. Like it's a big process, because ghee to in Ayurveda, it's such a healing liquid. It's such a healing product in so many ways that they use for so many different things. Of course I use it for cooking, but to me, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, I want good energy in this, because I'm using it in so many dishes. I don't want, you know, little bits of it every time. I don't want, you know, bad mojo to go into my foods.
That's right. That's right. And so where is your product actually? So it's still created at Rutgers, or is it?
Yeah. So they do have a bottling facility, and
Okay. And so are you selling it in stores? Are you selling it just a special order? How does that work to get some bottles of it?
Well, the great thing about it is it's because it's non-alcoholic, it can really go in a lot of different selling avenues. So it's at a few bottle shops locally, Sickles in Red Bank and Spring Lake Bottle Shop in Spring Lake, New Jersey. And then it's at Watermark Bar in Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's in Long Branch at the White Chapel Project in that restaurant bar. Great. And then there's some natural food stores that carry it in Vermont and New York, and then in Washington State. And then it's in some restaurants in Denver. So it's in Mr. Oso has a bunch of restaurants, Abejas. And I'm trying to really get it into more restaurants, because I think that's really anywhere, but it's in two places in New York too. The very first non-alcoholic bottle shop, Spirited Away, on Mott Street, and then in Minus Moonshine in Brooklyn. They were really right up there with the trend in the very beginning of the trend. It's a great little shop in Brooklyn. But I think that restaurants is also a great place because people can taste it. Because it's really, I think, because it's a new category, kind of people might not want to take the risk. I don't know. It's a premium quality, so the price is... It's $35 to $37 a bottle at retail. So, which is, you can look at that either way. It's just a nice something to enjoy.
Absolutely.
But so I just think restaurants, it's nice because you can taste it, and they could also make mocktails out of it. There's in Abejas, they have one. It's, they use the cassie, and they have it with egg white and the cassie. And then they have a little, mold that looks like a beehive, and they put cinnamon on top. So it's
cool.
That sounds wonderful. So when you, after you open it, how long does it last?
It lasts you have to refrigerate it because it's hot filled. So that's the other beautiful thing. It doesn't have any preservatives. Mm-hmm. It's just hot filled the way it's, pasteurized.
I don't know that term. What's hot filled? I don't know that.
Yeah, I learned that too. It's just the way it's brought to a boiling temperature and then sealed. So that's how you preserve it. It's kind of like Outlander, like Old World, so that's nice because there's no preservatives, but the apple cider vinegar does help preserve it, but you need to put it in the refrigerator, but then it lasts like a month in the refrigerator or longer. So that's great. A good benefit too.
And the heat doesn't, so you found the perfect temperature, so you're not boiling away the antioxidants and you're not burning off all the goodness that is in the original product.
Right, because I put some things in at the extracts, I do at a certain point where I try to make sure that that doesn't happen. Like the scientists are very cognizant of making sure it stays, viable with all of the elements.
Right. And what do you suggest? What temperature do you suggest drinking it? Just like red wine, where it's slightly chilled, or
I like it room temperature. Some people like it chilled. Some people like to put seltzer in it.
Okay.
I also made a sangria out of it in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
I made a mulled version in the holidays. So cooked it on the stove and put some maple syrup and orange slices and and cinnamon sticks.
I love it. There's such diversity here, and I'm imagining we often see clients who want to stop drinking alcohol or stop drinking sodas, and I'm imagining that this paired with a seltzer could be a really nice pop in the mouth, and it's got the sweetness that can really be a transition drink for people.
Yep. And I think it is nice that rather than just putting one juice and seltzer, it has so many layers to it. Like people really notice, like, wow, this is very, very complex. Like at the end, I taste the pepper, or at the end, I taste at the beginning, I really get that fragrance of cinnamon. But then when I drink it, it's not too powerful. So there's a lot of layers.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
That's really nice that it's not just a single pop. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can kind of really savor it,
I do have to share that I went to a gathering of people, an art gathering of people, and your drink was there. And I had just been a couple of months before when I met you at the holiday party and I saw it again. And I'm like, oh, this is a thing. And then Debbie's like, we have to call her again. We have to get her. I'm like, it's okay. Showing up in places here. We've got to.
Okay. Yeah.
Want to promote everything that is about this product and what's behind it. Goodness, it can gift our body.
I mean, you've checked every box as far as, you know, like-minded and you know, what we want to promote as far as people and products and lifestyle and all of that stuff. I mean, it's all there. I'm so glad that I had met you at the party, and I'm so glad that I tasted your product to know that it was so delicious. I was like, wow, this is really something. It's not just, you know, there's so many products out there. There's so many things. And especially in our holistic world, everybody's trying to do something good. And there are, I've had friends making things and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not so great, but yours was beyond that. Yours was fabulous. Yours tasted really good. It was like, wow, that this is different than just what I'm used to having in these circles. You know,
that's good. That's awesome. So, yeah. That's what I was going for. So yeah. Or I don't even know what I was going for. Honestly, I just, like I said, I was curious and I just kept kind of creating. Yeah.
That's a beautiful.
But your standards, you had high standards and that, I think that's really important. And the knowledge, the standards and the knowledge that made this product what it is, you know, it's because you were curious enough to go that much further to make it a high standard product, not just something you can just cook up in your kitchen and it's different every time kind of thing. It's you wanted it to be a real, this is something serious. And it really,
I guess it was, it's kind of like the curiosity led me to do this. And then there were kind of checkpoints along the way where I would stop and say, oh yeah, let's make sure it's X. And then let's make sure I have Y and let's, you know,
Right. But you were also launching it at a kind of a disruptive time in that inflation, you know, there's huge inflation in the last, I mean, it's coming down now apparently, but I imagine that affected some of your production costs and things like that too, because things we never thought about costing more started costing more. So I'm wondering, did that affect you in a significant way?
Well, I think the benefit was, is that everything was that way, you know, like,
already was.
You know, like the shipping was tough for everyone. So, and it helped people understand that they could, you know, you need to, and me too, I need to be patient. I need to have awareness that this is this price for a reason because it's really good quality. So it kind of helped. I mean, that was one benefit of COVID, is the slowing down, kind of assessing things and just having more of an awareness of each step and each, you know, ingredient. Yeah. In each part of the process.
So have you gotten any other attention? I mean, I imagine we're not the only people that are interested in you. Have you had other people, you know, wanting you to talk about your product in different places? And
yeah, I just did a podcast yesterday. WYT. And then, it's been great. It's hard to know what decisions to make sometimes without having someone like a partner to bounce ideas off of. That's probably been the biggest struggle, but, it's been great. Just, I have a PR company that I work with on a monthly basis, and they've gotten me into, you know, things here and there.
Yep.
You know, little TV spots like best drinks for Valentine's Day or dry January and then there was one in Men's Journal, it was like best beach drinks or something. And there were three listed, mine. And then I showed my son, he's 18. He's like, Mom, this is Bryan Cranston's drink. He's like, you're sitting with Bryan Cranston. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Right. And your son can drink it legally.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a funny quick story is, he had his 18th birthday bash. And I was like, well, I'm not buying the alcohol. He's like, then I'm not having a party, you know? And I said, well, you're underage. And besides from that, it's just, you don't like, just take a break from it. No. So then, you know, I said, I'm just going to step back. He can do his thing, but I'm going to not buy it. he can figure out how to get it.
Right.
And then the next day he was like, oh, my head hurts. My head hurts. I should have switched over to your stuff. Oh, I'm so mad.
He'll learn. Yeah. He'll figure it out.
Although then you get, maybe he'll end up marketing it as a hangover cure. So
yeah. It was funny too. I did make a little section of like a couple of non-alcoholic beers and seltzers. And my older son was like, Mom, there was a kid that was pounding the non-alcoholic beer. And he's like, you know, there's no alcohol in that. I was like, oh, really?
That's great. So how can people find, like we talked about where some of your products are, but how can people find you and your products if they want to get a hold of it, and, or if they want to get a hold of you? How can they
find you? Sure. I sell online, seraphimsocialbev.com. So,
okay. And that'll be in our show notes.
Yep. And and then I'm on Instagram at seraphimsocialbev. And then, you know, from a wholesale perspective, I'm on Fair, and I'm shortly going to be on Air Goods so that they can go wholesale through there. Okay. Also direct, you know, they can contact me directly, and I ship directly to retailers.
Okay.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah. Is there a minimum order for that?
It's a case, like I'm tweaking my pricing. So,
okay.
It used to be a 2 case, but I need to raise my prices. So I'm going to make a, you know, case 6 bottle minimum.
Okay. All right. And you said to retailers, so individuals would have to go through that, what you just said, the different places that they order it.
They can, or they can go right on my website and go and email me directly.
Okay.
And I ship out directly just by my email, and I invoice them through Square. So that works out just as well.
Okay. And is that the same minimum, or they'd have to have 6, or can they buy one, or what?
That's the same minimum. Yeah.
Okay.
They have to, yeah, 6 yeah. per blend, yeah.
Right.
Like the best, probably the easiest order is doing a case, just 6 of each, so that they get to try the 2.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Good to know. And that's especially good if you have a bunch of friends and you want to order it as a group, you can get that, and then everybody can get their individual bottles that way. You know, that's yeah. another way for people to do that. So
yeah.
Excellent. But that said, knowing how good it tastes, you might want all of them anyway.
Yeah.
So. Keep them for yourself. Go buy your own case.
Yeah, that's right. That's great.
It's been lovely chatting with you, Stephanie. And just, where'd the name come from?
Oh, yeah.
So Seraphim means angels. And when I was talking about, yeah, when I started meditating and learning about angels, I have guardian angels. So I felt like I'm passing that on.
Yeah. Cool. I like that.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. It was such a treat to chat with you today. Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I think just enjoy the day, stay curious, and don't be afraid to continue to be curious.
Love that message.
And following your heart, right? Follow your heart.
Yep, for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Navigating Nourishment. When listeners take a few seconds to subscribe and leave us a review, it really helps our podcast grow and to create more clarity around personal well-being.
To get more rich content and to become part of our exclusive podcast community, join our private Navigating Nourishment Facebook group. Thanks again so much for listening. Stay curious, keep learning, and keep exploring.